Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. I really appreciate you tuning in to this broadcast. I want to begin this Monday broadcast by talking about some of the things that have happened over the weekend at Hickory Ridge Community Church. And so I'm going to dedicate Mondays on the broadcast to kind of rehash what happened on the weekend at our church. And we always have great weekend services. I'd love to have you come check us out. Hickory Ridge Community Church is at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. We have a 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service. We would love to have you come worship with us as we gather every week. Last Sunday, I talked about the subject of hope, and that is the theme of our church this entire year, is that we want to be filled with hope, realizing that God has given us what is called the blessed hope. And I always like to start off with some corny jokes, and people often refer to these as dad jokes. And I have a young lady in our congregation, and she actually requests dad jokes from me. And so I'm going to give you just a couple of the dad jokes that I share with our congregation. I love jokes about eyes. The cornier, the better. I think that's kind of a corny joke, but hey, we got a little chuckle out of that in our worship services. Here's another one. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere. And here's the last one that I wanted to share with you this morning. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. And so I hope that kind of lightens your day. I know they're bad jokes, but I hope that as you're driving on the interstate, that's caused you to chuckle just a little bit this morning as you listen to this broadcast. Well, Romans 15:13 is the verse that we have adopted as our verse for the year. And Paul says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is a great passage of scripture reminding us that the God of hope, as a matter of fact, that little phrase, God of hope, doesn't appear anywhere else in scripture except here in Romans chapter 15. Now, we know that God does offer hope. We know that the blessed hope refers to the gospel, and we are to be filled with hope as followers of Christ. And as we look at this passage, you may be looking around and says, man, there's not a whole lot of reason to be hopeful in our society today. I want to share a couple of reasons that maybe why you feel you've lost hope is because of what is happening in our culture, especially here in the United States. And I want to give credit to Brian Moss, Pastor Brian Moss, for some of the information I'm going to share at the beginning of this broadcast today. And he just made some really good observations about our culture that I'm going to share with you. First observation is that Americans are more secular now than they have ever been in our history. And he bases this on the fact that there's a rise of the nuns. Those are the people that claim no religious affiliation. We have seen this happening over the last 100 years. People claiming, I have no religious affiliation. Since 2007, this number has doubled. And so this is unbelievable when you think about it. The number of people who say, I have no religious affiliation just since 2007 has doubled. Now, when we look at age brackets and we look at where people are based upon their age category, those who were born between 1980 and 1994, they're called millennials. They're full-grown adults today. And as I look at my children, I have two millennials. My two oldest children are millennials. Then we have Generation Z. Generation Z was born between 1995 and 2015. In fact, this generation is still open and there's still people entering in this generation. But Generation Z is different. They are not many millennials. They are more racially diverse than any other generation that has been in the United States. Half of this generation is non-white. In fact, by the year 2050, if you're white, as you're a white American, you will be in the minority in the United States. This Generation Z that is coming up is the most entertained generation. It is also a generation that is worried about things that we think is kind of strange that they'd be worried about. When they ask this generation what most concerns you, I would think they would say, well, I'd be concerned if we lost electricity, if we didn't have water, we didn't have food, if we didn't have shelter. But their most concern is that they lose internet connection. This is the most connected generation. However, this generation also is least prepared for adulthood. Do you know that 25% of Generation Z will spend 4 hours a day on media? Another 2/3 of this generation will spend 8 hours a day on media. So they are very connected. But we also learned that this generation has the least coping skills with what's going to happen in their future. They have least coping skills of how they're going to navigate their future. This is the largest generation that America has ever seen. Generation Z already has 70 million people in this generation. But this is also the generation that is perhaps the most confused generation. When asked what they would give as a number one goal in their life, Generation Z said, "My number one goal is to be happy," but they had no idea what that meant. They had no idea how to go about being happy. Generation Z also, 66% of them, believe that lying is not morally wrong. As you look at this generation also has an expanded gender identity. They have 13 different categories of what a person could identify as their gender identity. When you look at this generation, only 1 out of 5 believe you should wait. That's 20% believe that you should wait to have sex until you're married. Only 4% of this generation holds a biblical worldview. Generation Z is also the first generation that we have seen in the United States that actually has increased those who are believing in atheism. It has actually doubled for this generation. So we can say that America is more secular than it has ever been before in our history. Here's the second thing that we can notice about America. We are more isolated, angry, divided than ever before. 84% of those who were surveyed said that they're angrier today than they have ever been in their past. However, they don't know why they are angry. 91% will express their anger on social media. Pull up social media and get angry. And what happens, you actually inherit that anger of those that you're reading about or those that you are listening to. This generation, as you recall, doesn't have the ability to handle anger because you cannot have coping skills to handle anger that is inherited. This is also called the age of outrage. The Urban Dictionary defines outrage in our culture as when people play the victim card and bend over backwards to be as offended as possible when they really aren't. Using hissy fits, political correctness, character assassination, and a false sense of moral authority, the outrager hopes to gain power and public recognition for their brave act of justice, as well as a sense of control over their meaningless existence. Even simple words can trigger this generation, like saying the name Donald Trump will trigger this generation. Now, all I said was his name, the President of the United States, but certain people in this generation will be highly offended just hearing that name. Here's the third observation about where America is. America now is less Christian than it ever has been before. The number of Christians has dropped by 2/3 just in the last 10 years. George Barna, in his research, says 28% of Christians said that everyone prays to the same God. That's not biblical Christianity. If we believe that everybody's praying to the same God, that is called universalism. We look at these stats and we discover that 23% when asked what is right or wrong, they said that would depend on whatever that particular person believes. That is not biblical Christianity. That is relativism. Of this Generation Z, 27% believe that meaning and purpose comes from being one with the universe. That is the force being with you. That is Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. Christianity is not whatever you say it is. Christianity is what the Bible says. Well, here's the fourth observation of where we are as Americans. Americans are now busier than they ever have been before. We are super busy, but we're not necessarily productive. To see how busy we are, we discovered that dual working parents have doubled since 1970. Dual working parents means a child may go a week without having meaningful conversation with one or both of their parents. We are living in a day and age that we are stressed out, we're tired, we're rushed. We could say that would be a portrait of the modern family. All this has pushed us to accomplish a lot of things that are not really worth accomplishing. You know, if the devil can't make you bad, somebody once said, the devil will make you busy. As we see the busyness of Generation Z and Americans as a whole, we discover that also volunteerism is dropping. The Department of Labor says this about Generation X. It has surpassed the boomers in volunteerism. Okay, Generation X would be my generation. Those of you who are in your 50s, right, you're part of that generation. And we have surpassed the baby boom generation as far as being involved in volunteerism. Now, part of that is because the baby boom generation is slowly passing away. As you look at the next generation, Generation Z, that generation coming up after the millennials, rather, they are a percentage lower than the other generations as far as volunteerism. The millennial generation, as you look at how many hours they volunteer, for example, they volunteer 1.5 billion hours. That sounds pretty good. But then when you get down to Generation Z, we discover that they only volunteer about a half a million hours in giving volunteer service. So we're busier than ever, but we're not volunteering for nonprofits. We're not volunteering in our churches. Here's a fifth observation that we can see about Americans and where we are, the church itself within America is more apathetic than ever before. And this really set me back when I heard this. 3,500 Americans will leave church every single day. Not every month, not every year, every single day. And where are they going? Most of them are becoming nuns with no religious affiliation. We know that 135,000 Americans and this year, 2020, will convert to the Islamic faith. The Southern Baptist Convention, which is the largest Protestant denomination in the world, has lost 1 million members in the past 10 years. Less than 20% of Americans now attend church on a weekly basis. When we think about churches that are growing, only 15% of churches are actually growing. So that means 85% of the churches that you drive by today are either plateaued or are declining. Of the 15% of the churches that are growing, this is sad also, only 2% of that 15% are seeing growth by conversion. So in other words, this 15% of the churches that are growing, 13% of them are putting on a better show, and they're taking people from Congregation A to go into Congregation B. We're just changing fishbowls. 6,000 churches will close their doors in 2020. We cannot do business as usual as Americans. And so I want to talk to you about hope. I want to talk to you about something that we can do to reach our culture with the gospel. Now, when you think about hope, I think there's three ways that people would define hope. Number one is what I would call wannabe hope. You know, I hope that that light turns green before I get there. We could say maybe this kind of wannabe hope is more along the lines of wishful thinking. Like, I hope I win the lottery. Hey, I want to save you the time of buying a lottery ticket. Statistics prove that you have more chances of getting into a car accident on your way to 7-Eleven to get your lottery ticket than you do in actually winning the lottery. So the odds are really stacked against you. If you hope to win the lottery, we would call that wannabe hope. The second kind of hope that we define is what is called expectant hope. This is having some basis in reality. If I plant a tomato seeds, I hope they're going to get a tomato plant that will actually eventually produce tomatoes. I hope to have tomatoes. If we're, as a couple, expecting a baby, that is that hope that we're going to have a child. Expectant hope is not always reality, because sometimes you could be expecting a baby and something happens and that baby is never born. The third type of hope is what I would call biblical hope. This is certain hope. It is being a person of hope, not wishful thinking. It's not a feeling. It is knowing for certain that I am going to have what I hope for, and it's going to come to reality. Hebrews 11:1 gives us this definition of hope. Paul says that hope is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is that substance he's talking about? He's saying there is like a concrete floor. There is like a rock that I'm resting upon. Even though I don't see it, I have my confidence in it. And he's referring to the fact that as followers of Christ, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he has saved us. He has redeemed us. And we have our ticket to go to heaven. We have everlasting life. And he's saying, based upon that confidence, we also hope that God will take care of us, that he will supply all of our needs. We hope that he will guide us into our future, that we will be able to walk within his will, that he will protect us from evil. All of these things are things that we have confidence as believers that we can hope will come to pass. Well, what causes us to lose hope? I'm going to give you five things today that causes us to lose hope. I think we can lose hope, first of all, when we feel abandoned or we feel alone. Proverbs 18:24 says this, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin." But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Don't you love that? You may have some friends and they may be unreliable friends, but we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It could be that God will allow you to have some feelings of loneliness, feelings of abandonment from your closest friends, but I want you to know there is a friend that will never leave you nor forsake you, and that friend who sticks closer than a brother is Christ himself. He is the most loyal friend that you will ever have, and he is the one that has promised you, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you. Isaiah the prophet put it this way in Isaiah 42:8, he says, "I am Yahweh. This is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to the idols." As we look at this not being abandoned, God makes these promises to us. And as we look at who he is, one of his attributes that we don't like to talk about too much is that God is a God of jealousy. He will not share our love for him with anybody else. That's why we should have no other idols before him. And when you think about jealousy, in a way, all of us who are married have a jealous love for our spouse. I look at my wife, and we have been married 30 years. She is my wife. She's not your wife. And I love her, and I'm jealous of her love. I don't want her love to be shared with another man because she is mine. And we have been together all these years, and the Bible talks about two becoming one. And so when you think about that relationship, that is a sacred relationship between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. God has that same kind of love for us. And he says, I'm not going to allow you to be having two lovers. You're going to be loving me exclusively. And as you think about it, that will help us to stick together. Let's stick together in a healthy way, realizing that we are involved in a relationship of loving God and serving him and giving all of our affection and all of our love to him and to him alone. To help us on this, we can find hope in the church, in the family of God. Psalm 68 talks about the fact that God is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. He is God in his holy dwelling. And then this next little phrase is so very important. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. What is the psalmist trying to tell us? God sets us into a family, a biological family, but God also sets us into a church family. There are so many Christians today that think they can have Jesus without the church. I want you to know that Jesus died for the church. He loves the church. That is why we are referred to as the bride of Christ. That is because Christ loves us like a husband should love his wife. God gave everything in us by giving us Christ. Well, here's the second reason why you may be losing hope today is because life seems like it's way out of control. It is frustrating sometimes to think about where life is going. And if you are struggling with feeling like life is out of control, I want to invite you to come to Celebrate Recovery every Sunday night at Hickory Ridge Community Church at 6 p.m. And every time we do our open session, we always close with the Serenity Prayer. And as you look at the Serenity Prayer, it talks about understanding how we can control the things that we can control and not worry about the things that we cannot control. One of my favorite Old Testament characters is Job. If you're ever having a bad day, just read the book of Job. I promise you, your day is not nearly as bad as Job's day. And in Job chapter 4, one of the most difficult things that Job had to deal with, not only did he lose everything, he lost his home, he lost his kids, he lost his wealth, he even lost his health. I think one of the most difficult things Job had to deal with was his friends. One of those friends was a guy by the name of Eliphaz the Temanite. He came to Job, and as he's talking to Job, he gives him a very long sermon. And in this very long sermon, he says, Job, you have no strength, and maybe you're having this trouble because there's sin in your life. Job replies and says, what strength do I have that I still have hope? What prospects do I ever have? Should I be patient? And he says, yes, I will be patient. And he waits upon the Lord. What are you attempting to do today that is trying to get your life back into control? Maybe you're lacking a clean and a clear purpose. Romans 8:28 is a passage that we all know, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purposes. But we also know that we're secure. If you read verse number 29, we are secure no matter what happens. Well, here's the third thing that we can look at as why we lose hope is we don't see a purpose or a reason for what is happening to us. We have no understanding as to what is going on around us, but I want you to know, even in confusing times, you can hope in Jesus. Matthew 12:21, in the name of the nations will they put their trust in him. So keep on running in 2020. Keep your hope in Christ. Here's the fourth reason why we lose hope is because we're experiencing grief and we have a time of loss. But I want you to know that even in those times of grief and loss, we can trust God to do big things in our lives. And then the last point this morning is we don't have what we need. Well, I want you to know Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Well, thank you for listening today. I'm so excited that we can have hope in 2020. I pray that God will bless you as you listen to this broadcast and as you drive down the highway.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at hrcc and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you'll ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.